Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God who has, notice this word, reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I love that ninth verse that says, Christ reconciled us, the world, those that were lost in the world, when we could not discern or deserve or earn or in any way get back into the presence of God by anything we could produce. God sent his Son, and his Son reconciled us back to God on the cross. He goes on to say in verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that beautiful? And then he turns around in that same verse that I read previously, and he says, just as Christ has reconciled you, you are called to be, whether you are a pharmacist or an insurance salesman or a car mechanic, a college student, you are called to be in the ministry of reconciliation. You are. This isn't just a preacher somewhere. You are called, the Bible said, if you have accepted what Christ did on the cross, you are called into a ministry of reconciliation. What I'm sharing today, I actually wrote in a sermon, and I had them pull it and look at it, and it was written almost 10 years ago. And it was written before Sharice and I and our family would walk through a series of trials that would last for about 3 years, an attack on our family that started with one of my daughters, and it was like a domino effect, and it hit three of them in different ways. And I wrote these words before we ever walked through it, not knowing that the enemy would come with a wedge and do everything he could to try to destroy our family. And I'm a pastor, and I'm known in a lot of places because I preach. And we really hesitated. We really thought, you know, you keep private stuff private. But at some point, I believe that we have the ministry of reconciliation, that if we will be open and honest enough to say, I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to have a broken family. I know what it is to have the enemy so wound our hearts that for times and periods we haven't even spoken to one another. And I know what it is to come into a church like this and have the weight of the world on me, and know that at home, things are not right. We walk through this darkness and still do at times, to be quite honest, have issues in our family, just like every family, that we have to make choices to love like we've never been hurt. We can play religious games and we can play Christianity, or we can get real and understand that it's impossible. The Bible said, through much tribulation will you enter the kingdom of heaven, which means you're going to go through it. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be offended. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to hurt people. You're going to say things that you should have never said in fits of anger. And when you do, when you receive those words and when you give those words and when the enemy comes to attack your own kin and your own blood and try to divide and conquer your family, the only remedy is to love like you've never been hurt. I wrote these words almost 10 years ago thinking I was writing them for you who were here, not knowing that I was about to, with my wife and family, walk through some of the most dark times that we would ever face. And I started writing this little sermon. Christians are in a mess. They don't know how to love one another. The body of Christ is full of families that are estranged from one another. Siblings don't talk to siblings. Parents don't talk to children. I hear it all the time. I haven't spoken to my child in a year. I haven't seen my grandchildren since they were born. I wrote this years and years ago. We just don't get along. Something has happened in our family. Listen to this. We're Christians. I was given examples in this. We're Christians. And they have chosen to live a life of sin, and we just don't get along. We have a standard. God's high standard is not for sinners. It's for those of us who know better. Sinners are going to sin. We have got to learn how to reconcile our broken relationships. It's the saddest thing in the world. That we don't know how to keep our families together. We'll let our own children, our own brothers, our own sisters, our own parents live across town in the same city. And because someone has offended someone, someone has said something, someone has done something, we'll let our own kin live across town and never make a phone call. And never even know what's going on in their lives because we're offended and we're hurt and we've written them off. Because we love God so much, sometimes we convince ourselves that we can't put up with their sin. This is a sickness in the body of Christ. It is our responsibility to reconcile. That's why he said, you have been called into the ministry of reconciliation. Well, Pastor, what do you want me to do? Get on my knees and beg? Well, I'll just tell you what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that you were estranged from God, that you had no righteous compass in you. You were despicable and you were wrong, but God, who is rich in mercy, the one who knows the truth about you, he took the first step and every other step to reconcile you back to God. When you couldn't get to God, you couldn't earn it, you couldn't deserve it. Jesus Christ took the first step and every other step to reconcile you back to God. And now he says, in return, I expect of you, when people do you wrong and when conflict comes in your life, just like I reconciled you back to God, I expect you to enter into the ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile with your own blood kin. Children don't always do what they're supposed to do. Parents don't always do what they're supposed to do. Neither did you before you were saved. Well, I didn't bring children up to live like the devil, to do drugs, to get drunk and party and have premarital sex and lie and steal. So we just decided to cut them off. But does that change our relationship? And the fact that they're still our children? Well, they have to come home. They have to get their act together, and then I'll love them. But that's not how God loves you. He loves you like you've never heard him. He doesn't wait for you. While we were yet sinners, he died for you. When we preach on the prodigal son, the word prodigal means not doing what you're supposed to do. But what do you do when you're going through something and God doesn't fix it and you're dealing with a prodigal God? What do you do when God doesn't do what he's supposed to do? You have to love God sometimes like you've never been hurt. Pastor, I believed for my marriage and it ended in divorce. Or I don't know why the car wreck happened. And I tell in one of the chapters of in the book of the Caston family in this church that are here somewhere, I'm sure today, some of the greatest members that we have in this church. And they were on their way to church on Easter Sunday morning with their precious family. And a person runs the stop sign and crashes into their car and kills their son, a beautiful boy, and is in college, a handsome young man, had the whole world ahead of him. And they love God, they serve God, but sometimes we have a prodigal God that we just can't understand. What do? You do what Job did. You give the questions to God and you say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even when I don't understand you, I'm going to love you like I've never been hurt. That's when you begin to grow. And there's a remarkable story that they tell of how healing came to their heart. I'm saying to you today that sometimes we all have to step up and say, I'm in the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 13 says that there are power gifts, but the most important gift is the gift of love. For love never fails. When you love somebody, it will never fail. When you love someone and come down off of your spiritual pedestal. When I wrote these words, I didn't even know what I was talking about. I didn't know that God was saying, I'm going to humble you through what you go through. I'm going to show you how much flesh and spiritual pride is inside of you. And when I get through with you, you'll be a broken vessel. You'll be a broken vessel, but I'll heal through you. I'll pour through the broken places of your own life. When you love somebody, it will never fail. You may say, well, I just don't agree with their lifestyle, and I'm done, that's it. We put them in a box and write them off. But love says, I may not approve of what you're doing, but you are mine. And as long as I am alive, I will love you. Now, folks, this is what Satan doesn't want this to get out right here. Because this is real life. When you look at that loved one and you say, I may not aid you and I may not bankroll your sin. As a matter of fact, I can't do it. My conscience won't let me do it. But I will love you because you are mine. You can't make me not love you. You can't kick me out of your life. I wrote those words. It's been a long time since you've loved one another, seemingly. But when you love them, something in you says, I want to eat with you. I want to talk with you. I want to have a relationship with you because I love you. And this book says love will never fail. It may take a month. It may take a week. It may take a year. It may take a lifetime. It may take a funeral. But if you will keep loving that family member and loving people who have hurt you, love will never fail. That is God's covenant promise from heaven to you and your family. Everybody take a praise break. If you believe love is the answer and love wins. We kick people out of our lives. We kick people out of our churches. I'm finished. We're done. But God's never done that to you. His love never fails. His love is kind and patient and long-suffering. We all have different personal standards. We all have different feelings of what is right and wrong. But we are never told by God to reject people on our personal standards and convictions. A sinner will sin. We need to keep loving people no matter what they do. Paul looked at the Corinthian church, and they had power, and they had the gifts of the Spirit, and they had miracles, and they had amazing church. But then he saw this duplicity. He saw them having amazing church, but then he saw that they were not getting along with one another. And he said, you bite and devour one another. He said to the Corinthian church, you're not getting along. And he rebuked them for brother taking brother to court, for siblings suing one another, for families fighting one another, two brothers in the same church that aren't even speaking to one another. We're not here to uphold God's standard. We're here to tell people God loves you. And when you love God, you'll have standards and convictions, but that should not be used as a means of cutting people off from my life who don't know the love of God and are not walking in the love of God. Before we shout, before we speak in tongues, before we prophesy, before we build magnificent things according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, before we feed the poor and do amazing humanitarian ministry, our families need to know that we love them. He said, before all of that other stuff is sounding brass and tinkling cymbals, if they don't know you love them. Christians, I wrote this. I didn't know what I was writing. This amazes me. I'm sorry. I'm just letting you in my little world for a minute. Christians are not supposed to be mean people. We're not supposed to be mean people to gays. We're not supposed to be mean people to transsexuals. We're not supposed to be mean people to divorcees. We're not supposed to be mean people to drug addicts and alcoholics and people who have fallen. They don't need you to kick them. They already know that they've messed up. They need people to love them until God can fix their brokenness. Clap your hands and shout amen, somebody. Love like you've never been hurt. I wrote these words. I didn't bring them up to do that. They're not going, if you've got children, can I give you a rude awakening? They're not going to fulfill your dream for them. I just helped you right there. That's going to help you stay off a psychiatrist's couch right there. They are God's project. Love them anyhow, no matter what kind of mess they get in. Love them, love them, love them. Don't matter what happens, love them. Just be glad that they love Jesus. And zip it.
And they're not raising those grandchildren like they are. I tell you, we raise.
You didn't raise your children like your mom and daddy did either. So just zip it. Some of you scared to clap. Turn to your neighbor and say, zip it. You know that your words, if you look up the word nitroglycerin, you know, it has two definitions, and I'm not making this up, one right after the other. It actually says this: it can blow up bridges, a substance used to blow up bridges, or heal hearts. So if you have a heart attack, they'll give you a nitro pill. And it'll... So your words can either build bridges or blow up bridges or it can heal hearts. And it's up to you how you speak in a crisis. And when trouble comes to your home, you idiot, you stupid, how could you do that? You good for nothing. That's blowing the bridge up. Or you can say, that's not who you are. I love you. God has a mighty purpose, and by the time he gets through with you, baby, you're going to be mighty in God. That's all in the power of your tongue. I wish somebody would have taught me this. I wish I'd have read my own sermon. Isn't that crazy? God will never give up on anybody, even though they continue breaking his heart and his rules. He will never. And you better shout on that, because I'm preaching, in other words, you. He'll never give up on you, even though you keep breaking his heart and his rules. Can we celebrate that kind of love? That he loves us like he's never been hurt. And then he says, turn around and reconcile your relationship with people who have hurt you. He never gives up on us. And you don't know what you got in you. You can sit up like you're all pious and proud right now. But the Bible calls love, gentleness, peace, kindness, long-suffering, joy. Calls them fruits of the Spirit. The only way you know if a piece of fruit is good is to take a bite out of it. And you can come to church and look real pretty and holy, but we don't know what you got till somebody takes a bite out of you. And it's either going to be sour or it's going to be sweet. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, loving like you've never been hurt. It's never wrong to love. It's never out of order to love. You're never compromising when you love. You're not lowering your standards when you love. Love never fails. And I'm going to conclude with three quick stories. Somewhere, somebody is listening to me at one of our campuses, perhaps in this room or in Overflow, or watching or streaming by television, There is a daughter who has gotten pregnant with her boyfriend, and you are so upset with her as a Christian parents, and they have a baby, and they don't know anything about a baby, and it was so easy for you to be bitter and hurt and broken, and your dreams for that child has just been devastated, and you're so embarrassed in the community of your friends. But here's what would be so powerful. What would be wrong? Instead of drawing a line and saying, that's not how you're raised and I'm done with you. What would be wrong with saying with tears in your eyes, Mom, go into that hospital room where that baby's just been born and saying, let me show you how to change a diaper. Let me show you how to clean up this baby. And let me show you how to feed this baby. Don't go in there with a Bible and say, first of all, I want to teach on fornication. That ain't going to get it done. Sometimes you got to walk in there and all you've got is the weapon of silence and love. And you just love them. And you just get involved in the mess. That God has a precious plan for that life. He's the giver of life. And you get in that. And somehow, some way, love never fails. Secondly, I wrote these words almost 10 years ago. Somebody has a gay son or daughter. And because you think your God is so deeply offended, you have decided to turn your back on them. It's so wrong the way that they are living. And so you have said, I'm done with them. But what would be wrong with going to that gay son or that gay daughter and putting your arms around them? What they need is a hug. What they need is you to look at them and say, I love you. I don't agree with your lifestyle, but let's quit arguing about it. You know where I stand. You know where the Bible stands. But I love you. I'll always love you. Nothing will change that. You are my child. Somewhere in this city, there is a husband who has done something stupid. He's had an affair. And the family is in shambles. And the children don't ever want to see him again. And he's broken and he's truly, truly repented. And I know what you're thinking. You're looking at me right now saying you're in a dream world, Pastor Franklin. You're crazy as his wife. If you think for one moment that I'm going to forgive him, I'm not going to forgive him. But what would be so wrong if he's truly repented, totally accountable, willing to do any and everything? What would be so wrong in saying, I'll open my heart enough to try to love like I've never been hurt? It's not that you forgive and forget. You can never forget something like that. But you can remember it differently. It can become a point of reference that you look back on 3 years from now, and the family has been healed by the love and grace of God, and you remember how far you came. Sharice and I were invited to Billy Graham's funeral. It's one of the highest honors that we've ever had. I sat there. I was so moved. I don't know if you got to see it, but it was just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It's just amazing, and he so deserved to be honored. But I think the part that got me the most, that messed me up, is when that third daughter of the Billy Graham's kids, he had, I think, five, and the third daughter got up. And she told her story of how that her father told her, don't marry that man. Her mother told her, don't marry him. It's not right, baby. It's not right. And she said, in her own words, I was full of rebellion. I was full of my own self. And I went right off and did what they told me not to do. And she said, I knew within 24 hours I had made the worst mistake of my life. And then she said something that just, it touched me deeply. She said, when you mess up bad and you end up in a divorce and your father is Billy Graham, who do you go to? How do you find help? And she said she called her daddy. Worldwide famous, I guess the most notable evangelist in the human history. And she called him and said, Daddy, I've messed up. And I'm coming home. And she said it was a 3-day drive. And she said she wept for 3 days. And she said she would never forget going up the side of that mountain in Boone, North Carolina, to the cabin that he still lived in when he died. And pulling up into the driveway of that house and standing outside was Dr. Billy Graham with his arms wide open. And he wrapped those big arms around her and he said, welcome home. Welcome home. That's loving like you've never been hurt. In my heart, in my prayer for you and your family, is that God would begin today to restart your heart. That you would enter into the ministry of reconciliation. that you would take the first step and do everything you can to be reconciled. And I go into details that sometimes people don't need to be inside your family because of some things that have happened that are so bad and so awful. But you can and you must forgive them. You have to separate the person from the action. Sometimes you can put the action in a cell and say, that is unforgivable. That was wrong. I'm not by forgiveness saying you were okay and right in your action in doing that. But you have to separate the person from the action and forgive the person. The dad that wasn't there, the dad that walked out on you, you have to separate him from the awful actions and forgive him. When you do, it'll set you free. It'll heal you. And you'll be in the ministry of reconciliation. Would you stand to your feet at every building, at every campus? No one moving, please. The overflow, wherever you are. And so I don't want to... I'm telling you, the next 2 weeks, what I'm going to share can change your life and your family. You need to invite people. You need to get people here. Say, even if we don't sit together, maybe you got the Hatfields and the McCoys going. You say, you sit on the left side and we'll sit on the right side. But if I can get you in the same building, God's going to get a hold of both hearts. I want every person under the sound of my voice that would say, I need a miracle of reconciliation in my family. It may be your marriage. It may be your home. It may be with your children. It may be with your parents. It may be with someone that you love dearly and there's been an offense and a hurt that has happened. But if you want to see a miracle in your family, I'm going to ask every person under the sound of my voice that needs it. And I'm telling you, you got drug addiction or something going on. What happened in our house is when one child went that direction, there's a domino effect that can happen. And it's a dynamic that turns your family for that season into a war zone. And it was 1, 2, 3. God's grace is sufficient. And don't hurt alone. If your marriage is in trouble today, if Sharice and I can be this open and honest with our family, can you get open and honest enough to say, we need help, we're dying? If you're going through crisis and something's ripping your family to pieces, can we dare step out on a word from God and say, I receive that word. It is from heaven for me. And I can't be responsible for the other parties, but I'm going to love like I've never been hurt. If that's you and you know it's you, I'm going to ask you, maybe it's husband and wife, maybe it's by yourself, maybe even while I preach, you've seen a face of somebody. A face of somebody that keeps coming up, and you know that you truly in your heart have not released forgiveness to that person. This is your day. I want you to get out of your seat wherever you are at every campus and come down front as close as you can get. We're going to take a moment and do this. I'm going to pray a prayer of release and reconciliation. Release and reconciliation. Come now. Come as families. Come. Maybe you need to turn to somebody and say, will you walk with me down there? Maybe there's some situation that is so complicated and so in depth. Come on, just be honest. Just be honest. Just be honest. Just be honest. That's all we can do. When conflict comes, that's all we can do. You'd take it back if you could take it back, but some things will never be the same, but God can make all things new. If you're in Christ, it's a new creation. Bring the family, bring the hurts, bring the wounds, bring it all, bring the mess, bring the confusion, bring the contention, bring it to Him. Let's be cleansed of every wound today. Let's let Him do a mighty work in this room and in every room that we have. If you would say, Pastor Jensen, I know I'm not right with God. You may have fallen and failed so bad. You may be in addiction and fighting for your life. You may be in a lifestyle that you know is nothing but wrong in the eyes of God, but I want to tell you, we love you and God loves you. If there's ever a church that loves you, I believe this church loves you, and I believe God loves you. We're not throwing stones today. We're reaching out to you. And if you'd like to get reconciled back to God, this is your moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor Jensen, I know I'm not right with God, but I would like to be reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ. I would like to receive what he did on the cross. Pray for me. If that's you, boldly raise your hand right where you're standing all over this room. Hands are going up. That's beautiful. Hands are going up. No conditions. No. If I got to do this, I got to do that. Now, if I can get this and stop that, just raise your hand if you need a Savior. Raise your hand if you don't know you're saved and you want to be saved and you want to be reconciled back to God. That's all I'm asking you to do. And keep that hand high for just a moment. I want you to look around you, and if you see someone with their hand raised, they're all over this room. Reach over and gently put your hand on their shoulder, and we're going to pray a mass prayer at every campus. Are you ready? Let's pray this prayer. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. And you said you reconciled me back to God through your blood, through your body, suffering on the cross. And today I receive total forgiveness. I am totally free from my sin. You have washed it away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now everybody say this: I receive the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to love like I've never been hurt before. If you receive that, say amen, somebody. Now I want to say something in closing. Every one of you standing in these aisles, all the way up the aisles, I don't take a one of you for granted. I know it represents a battle going on. And I know where you are and how you feel. And the pain you feel is the pain you can heal. And I say to you, that it's not a chance or accident that you're in this church listening to this preacher preach this message. God wants you to know and be confirmed that he is going to heal the broken places in your life and in your family. Somehow, some way, love will win. If you receive that, right now, shout with the biggest shout of the day. I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app. Or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.